Hello everybody, welcome to this week's bonus podcast. I'm Michael.
I'm Gemma.
And this week we have got a special guest for you. It's only Vicky Myers.
That's right, D.S. Swain.
D.S. Swain, oh my god, this is like the best. I hope everyone else who's listening is excited as we were to get hold of D.S. Swain this week, Vicky Myers. She's great, and we talked last week on the podcast about the fact that Vicky's recently been promoted to regular character on Coronation Street after 3 years on the cobbles. So as soon as we heard that news, we just had to get her on the show and find out all about what it's like and just, you know, what's in store for D.S. Swain and everything that's involved in that, you know, moving up to regular character status. It's dead exciting. And I mean, I know that she has got an awful lot of fans out there. So I hope you enjoy listening to this or watching it, because this is available on YouTube as well. Of course, you head over to our channel and watch me having a chat with Vicky. But let's not dilly-dally around anymore. You ready to listen to this, Gemma?
Yeah.
For the benefit of the tape, here's Vicky Myers. Since first appearing on the street in 2021 to investigate the attack on Seb Franklin, D.S. Swain has questioned more than her fair share of Corrie characters in the Weatherfield Police Station interview room. But today, Vicky Myers has kindly agreed to come onto the podcast and have the tables turned on her as I interrogate her about the development of the character that we're about to start seeing a whole lot more of. Vicky, thank you for coming onto the show.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you, Michael. Yeah, I'm not sure about the tables being turned, though.
Well, we will say that. So, yeah. Thank you. So, just first off, congratulations on your promotion to series regular. Corrie's had so many recurring characters over the years, including a handful of detectives, but it's rare for them to be granted main character status. Was this something you'd ever considered was going to happen?
No, not at all. So it's been a very welcome surprise for me, and one I'm very, very grateful for, this massive opportunity. But no, when I first started, I got the offer for the tape through, which was the prospect of 8 episodes, mm-hmm. and with it being such a hard hitting storyline with the hate crime storyline, so I really wanted to focus on what was in front of me and make sure that I did the best job that I possibly could with this character, but also ask the questions of who is she, why is she a detective, and all of the prep really that you need to do when you know you're offered a tape. And for something such as Coronation Street, which this is a bit of a strange situation because I have been in it before.
Yeah, I thought you had. You had like one-off roles, hadn't you?
Yeah, very, very small roles. And it was really odd because I'd never actually met the casting team. So it was all just kind of happenstance, really. So this was my shot to, if maybe not land Swain, to be seen by the casting team. So I wanted to do the best job that I possibly could, really. Then, you know, 3 years later, here I am. And it's an odd thing because I didn't think that I'd done that. I thought I could have done a better job at the tape. And I didn't hear after a couple of days, and I thought, oh no, you know, what could I have done better? And I was kind of a bit down in the mouth about it. And then my agent rang and said, you know, Jenny sent an email to offer you the role of D.S. Swain. So, you know, I was elated. I was over the moon.
Yeah. And when the offer came for it to be a more permanent role, which was just announced last week in the media, was that an easy decision for you to make?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. We'd had lots of different discussions and discussed different storylines. But Swain, for me, she really interests me, and she keeps me challenged creatively, and I know the storyline's coming up that is going to do just that. So it would have been a bit stupid of me to have turned it down. And obviously it's one of the most, if not the most, iconic streets in the world, and I mean to go there, and you've been there yourself, Michael, and it is an absolute joy to be there. Everybody is so welcoming, and so actually a lot of them are extremely funny and very different to the characters that they portray. So and it's literally Manchester. I live in Manchester. Right. Yeah, bit of a no-brainer, really.
Does it represent much of a change for you in terms of your day-to-day working life? I don't really know how these things work.
In what respect?
As in, like, even just things like, you know, Have you got a name on a dressing room now, or you know?
I have a pigeonhole with my name on. I know. And at the moment, I'm still in the guest artist dressing room because it's that transition of, you know, sort of people moving on and then new people coming in. So, and there's a lot of cast. So the cast liaison, Caroline, who is absolutely lovely, she's really got a worked out for her. So, but I'm not precious about things like that. The fact that I'm actually there and I'm playing a character that really interests me and that I adore playing is, I mean, ask me in a few months if I'm still in the dressing room and it's all different, you know, when I've gone to prima donna status and I'm kind of, don't you know who I am? Yeah. I can assure you that one.
What's it going to mean in real terms for the viewers? Is it just a case that we're going to be seeing more of Swain showing up to investigate cases more than the other officers? Or are we actually going to be seeing more of you off duty, for example, like, I don't know, moving into one of the houses? Or what's that going to look like for us?
Yeah, we're going to see a very different Swain, all being well. And that's something that I'm really looking forward to exploring and reading, because at the moment it's a... Again, that's a transition period. So for me, trying to navigate that as well, that's keeping me on my toes, because it's also finding this new character that the viewers haven't seen. And I've done my backstory with her, I've done my prep with her. Mm. And now it's my time to portray that and to show the viewers, who is this woman behind closed doors? Who is she as a mother? What's she like as a mother? Mm. Does she take her work home with her in this high-pressured environment that she surrounds herself in day to day from a job that she adores? That's why she's still doing it. But I'm very much looking forward to that and for the viewers to see that. Interested to hear what they make of it as well.
Well, it must have been nice to have seen the reaction that the news got last week from the fans when it was revealed you were becoming a regular. I mean, lots of Curry fans have really taken to Swain, haven't they?
Oh yeah, they have, and that is it's greatly appreciated, and it's never taken for granted, any of it, and you never quite know, especially with a character such as Swain, because and I know I've said this before, but it's she's Marmite. Yeah. Viewers love or loathe her, and I love that. That's pretty much exactly how I would feel if I was watching Swain, especially in interviews. Some of the curt remarks and sarcasm and but it's been wonderful and for people to have taken the time and to have invested in her and taken to her or not, as the case may be, but there's numerous Twitter handles and podcasts and fans of the show that have put montages together and little memes and things, and they're hilarious. So I hope that there are many more opportunities for them to do that.
Oh, I'm sure there will be. Is there, you said that you were kind of doing your prep work for Swain back when you first started. How much of it was stuff that you were able to like make up for yourself? Like, was your head canon about Swain? How much was it you were told that this is what she was like? And have you had any say into what she's going to develop into in the future?
Well, initially, there wasn't really anything at all, because obviously the focus, and I was very mindful of that, because the focus was on the storyline. And obviously she was the investigating officer, but it's not about her. But there were little nuggets in the script, and I thought, you know, this is a really serious storyline. So obviously with the hate crime storyline, and there are things that need to be pushed here. There's lots of things that I did. I watched, you know, different police series and, you know, 24 Hours in Police Custody and things like that, of which I find really intriguing. But also you've got to remember the genre of which... you know, of which you that is being portrayed, the show that it is, so it has to be heightened in that sense, but also the seriousness of it. So but it's very much lends itself to the writing. If it's not written, then it can't be done. And as things have progressed, it's been a bit easier for me, because I thought, oh, she'd react like this. And obviously working with Tinker, in particular with the Stephen Reed storyline, and when he had his secondment. I mean, she would have been appalled, and that's nothing against Tinker, that's against the system. Because, you know, he's been allowed to progress, and it's kind of, I can only imagine from her perspective how hard she would have had to have worked, and then all of a sudden, you know, these opportunities are there. So that's not a personal issue with Tinker, but also that he's sometimes inept. It doesn't quite have the stomach for finding bodies in
Foxes.
canals, in roof boxes in canals. So it does get easier for me, but again, it has to go to the writing, the storyliners and the writing team, because if it's not there, and like these sarcastic lines, and if it's not written, I can't do it. So it's all down to them. It's not really sort of my doing. They write this brilliant stuff, and I'm the lucky one that gets to portray you. So.
There was a funny bit towards the beginning of the year when you were investigating the fire on the Bailey's yard, and Craig was said something, and the look that you gave him, like, "Oh, Craig," it's like, "I just want to go home," kind of look.
Yeah, it was a scene. I remember doing that. Actually, I did it the other day for a little tiny clip on Big Brother, but which of course Coulson is in at the moment and doing extremely well. Do say so. But yeah, and it's like, no, actually, it can't wait. I need to talk to you. And as it turned out, he did the right thing, so he is getting better, which is great. It would be lovely to have more scenes with Coulson, and to see Tinker improve and get more confident.
Even at the beginning of this week, when we had all the stuff in Lauren's flat and you're in your forensics gear and all that, we got to see a lot more, I felt, of the relationship between the two of you. And it was kind of you're teamed up for that. And I guess that's, now you're a regular character. That's the kind of thing we might be able to see more of, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. I think we should, because obviously they work together. They work in the same police station. But yeah, that was good, and it was great to film as well, because that was sort of the lighthearted banter between the two of them, and especially the Swain Rooney. And I've decided, I've brought a little bit of myself into Swain, that she's a blue, so that was quite offensive to her, calling her Swain Rooney. So that was my choice. I'm not entirely sure if Ian and Verity are in agreement with that, but or Joe, but yeah, that was very much my choice, that I wanted her to be a blue. So,
She
but
needs
yeah,
to get talking to
hopefully.
Steve McDonald, doesn't she? Because he's trying to decide this week whether to go reds or blues.
Well, yeah, it was interesting, because I was listening to some of the podcast you were saying about that. So yeah, perhaps she can influence Steve McDonald. Although I don't know if she'd be that welcome in the McDonald's household at the
No,
moment.
they do have a
Maybe
bit of
by
history with the
Amy.
laws as well, don't they? All of them.
Yeah, I don't think there are many houses that Swain hasn't visited over the past sort of 3 years, so who knows?
You revealed in a press interview recently that Swain is gay and has a teenage daughter. Is this all new information that's been given to you now you become a regular character? Is this kind of fairly recent development for you?
Well, it was established that she had a teenage daughter. It was, funnily enough, talking about the McDonald's and the Barlows, when it was the consensual sex storyline, and
Oh, was it in there, was it?
there was a couple of scenes, and I think it was after when Tracy was talking to Steve about her having a teenage daughter, and she said, you know, she's all right, that's Swain. He's somebody has taken to her on the street. But yeah, I had my thoughts about her being gay to start off with, and then this has come about in storyline meetings and meetings with Ian. So I'm really pleased, and it's a privilege to portray a character who is part of that community. And also, I don't know if this is something that they will explore, but what she has been through in her profession, in her daily life, the homophobia, the barriers, the fear, I think, because a lot of it is born from fear. you know, they kind of don't want to be associated, because if they then come out and say, oh, you know, this, because there's a lot of things that I've read that have been written about them revealing that she is, and I love the way the reveal, because she is a policewoman who is gay. Her
Yeah.
sexuality doesn't define how she investigates roles or anything like that. So, but also a woman of her generation as to what she's been through. I think it's hugely important, and sadly, many people will relate to it from the LGBTQ plus community. So that's something that I'm passionate about and really want to explore.
You said in another interview that she may have her eye on somebody. We're all trying to rack our brains, the Curry fans, at the moment, because I don't think there's any other lesbian characters in Sway's age bracket now. I mean, there's Nina on the street, there's Asha, there's not many other people. So could this turn into like an unrequited crush storyline, or an age gap romance, or is it we're going to have to wait and see?
I think you might have to wait and see about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? And also, I don't know if that will be explored, because all I know is for now and for the foreseeable future is that she really does have a hands full with juggling work and home life and the introduction of a daughter, because her daughter is feisty, sarcastic, opinionated. I'd probably say that the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree where that's concerned.
Has she got
So
a name yet?
she does. I don't know if I'm allowed to reveal it, but I will. I will.
Go on then. Exclusive.
Sorry. An exclusive. Please don't do that. So no sooner will I start than I'll be sacked. Her name's Betsy.
Nice.
Betsy.
We will look out for more for her soon.
Yeah.
Even if you can't tell us who Swain has got her eye on, could you say like what kind of person you think that she might be attracted to?
That's quite a tricky question. But I think, in all seriousness, when we've been discussing this and relationship wise for her, it's really more so about perhaps exploring her past and what has made her become the woman that she is today. Where has she been? What's happened in her life in Weatherfield? Where was she before that, perhaps? How has she managed to be a single mother? Is there another mother on the scene somewhere? So I think that for now is where it's going to be focused on. And as far as her, what would be her type? I think she's quite open to love, actually, and however that appears. Because for a woman, as I've said, of her generation, that's really important. But also, why is she single? Why is she a single mother?
Lots
I
to
find
unpack.
That really interesting. Oh. So there's a whole lot to unpack with her.
Sounds like there might be a dark secret in there somewhere, Vicky.
Who knows?
So
let's
go back to Amy's story, because I was really intrigued by Swain's reaction to Amy's protesting in the vigilanteism last autumn. I mean, she outright admitted to her that she thinks that the system is flawed when the likes of Mason can get away with being so vile to women. Do you think that she kind of tacitly approves of some of what Amy's been doing, and could we start to see more of Swain losing faith in the legal system?
Does she approve? Well, probably not, because she's a stickler for the law and she loves her job and she wants to keep her job. And she's worked very hard to get to where she is. But I think perhaps, we know she turned a blind eye to a couple of things, in particular the vandalism on the police car. So I think that says everything you need to know with that.
Yeah.
And also, for her to be so passionate in the interview room, which was being recorded,
Love
she
that.
could have been reprimanded. Oh, thank you. Well, you know, Elle's just brilliant. And Claire, who directed, well, And it was her first time. It was her first block on Coronation Street. So credit to her as well for taking that chance. And she really did push us. So it was great to be so free with it and to go there, because a lot of the interview scenes are quite restrained because of that authenticity of trying to portray that, and that it is recorded and it is official. And part of the investigation. And also Swain has, you know, Swain has a boss. She has somebody to answer to. So there's only so far that she will push it. She will push those boundaries to get to where she wants to get. But with that, yeah, I think the connection with Amy Barlow, she's already said that she's passionate about talking to young men about the abuse of women and violence against women in particular. So that's something that I wonder if we perhaps might explore in the future. For her to have gone there and to have been so passionate and shown that, and then, like you said, losing faith in the system. Well, that's true. The system is flawed. We only have to listen to news reports. I'm talking in real life. We only have to listen to news reports, and that's a reflective of society at the moment and the situation, which again is terribly sad.
There's parallels with Billy losing faith in the Church of England last year as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is so important to portray in the programme, because people can relate to it immediately. In particular, you know, we're talking about knife crime and so on, and bullying, and the current storyline, which is so being so brilliantly portrayed by everyone involved in that. And it's fantastically written and really emotive. It's heartbreaking. I turned on the news this morning and there is yet another story about knife crime. That's something that Coronation Street do really well.
So the recent arrest that you're making this week, or this week's arrest, the big one, Roy Cropper. Now, come on, come on. You're not going to be doing yourself many favours with the Weatherfield residents with that one, are you?
Oh, I know. I've read the episode, and I've literally, it's a real sort of contrast of emotions, that oxymoron. I was like, oh, this is brilliant. And then I thought, oh no, actually this is the Roy Cropper. I mean, you know, it's somebody that I have watched for years, and my character's now going to potentially ruin his life. But for Swain, well, the evidence is pretty incriminating. So it's for her, she has to build up this case against him. And again, this goes down to the writing, the way that they have slowly picked apart his life and almost exposes his vulnerabilities, because he's so honest.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this when I was reading the scenes and thought, wow, this cynical side of people, could she's really questioning his integrity. Yeah. Is really that genuine? Is anybody really that genuine? And sort of, you know, come on, this is, you need to tell me the truth, because I can see straight through it. But having said that, there's evidence there that backs up her theory and her gut instinct. So she's doing her job, and it's the seriousness of, well, firstly, Lauren going missing, and then this now escalating into a murder investigation. So, yeah. But no, I don't think she'd be welcome in the Rovers, put it that way.
Because we know that Roy really is like that, don't we? Swain doesn't. We've known him for 25 odd years. Who is he to Swain?
That's it, Mike. You've hit the nail on the head there. But also, it's irrelevant to her whether people think he's a good guy or not.
Yeah.
Because she's there to deal with the facts, and she has a case to solve. And also, she very much speaks on behalf of the victims. That's the crux of it for her. She wants to be their voice. So she needs to get justice, and that's her job. And she takes it very seriously, perhaps a bit too seriously sometimes, but she, in cases like this, she takes it very seriously. And It then explores sort of accusations online and social media. And I was thinking about this when I first read the storyline, and, you know, going back to the creepy cropper days and people being unkind and saying not particularly pleasant things about him and being so judgmental. And there was a case, it was Joanna Yates, and there was I think he was a retired school teacher, and she went missing, and was sadly her body was found a couple of weeks later. But in the interim period, and that's not to be dismissive of that, but I think this was around about 2010, but in the interim period they took this retired school teacher, and he wore cardigans, he looked a bit eccentric, and perhaps sort of rebuked by society and the community, and he was taken in for questioning, and he was prime suspect number one, and everybody had found him guilty at this stage. And then he was released, and there was a program that was I think it aired you know, sort of 5 years later or what have you. But I thought, well, that immediately sprung to mind with this for me. It's Christopher Jeffries, I think was his name. And then obviously later they found the murderer, and he's still in prison, I think. But the damaging effect of people's accusations and that condemnation that they had found him guilty without trial. Or with a right to reply either, you know. Yeah. So it explores all of that and how harsh and cruel we can be as a society sometimes.
Well, I mean, Weatherfield cops do have a bit of a tradition of arresting the wrong person first, don't they? So I'm sure we'll forgive you. I'm presuming that Roy hasn't killed Lauren here.
I mean, who knows? You know, you'll have to sit tight to find out. Who knows? But I think for now, it's this storyline in particular, it's opened up so many talking points with people, not just because it's Roy Cropper that has been arrested or that Swain's involved. There are so many other characters involved in this. And are you still there? I've just had it. Oh, there you go. You're back. Sorry about that. me and technology, honestly. I think Swain will be far more proficient than I am.
Imagine in the interview room, just like, oh, the tape stopped.
Just hang on a minute. You were just about to confess. Just bear with me 1 second. The battery's going. it's with, as we saw last night with Daniel, picking apart his life. And his history with Nikki Wheatley and Summer and everything that encompasses, and to really prod and poke and sift apart people's lives. Yet, as a community, and I think irrelevant of whether this is done on Coronation Street, but I was also thinking about people in my community that they do things and you move on and you accept it. You move on and you move on and you move on. And then sometimes things are forgotten. Which you know, it's great because people do make mistakes, do error of judgment. But I think with this in particular, picking apart people's lives and seeing how they may turn after decades of friendship and support, and love, essentially, because that's what it's about. And see what happens with this. So the plot thickens.
I'm really excited to see how it's going. It's been great this week, and that scene in last night's when you were interviewing Daniel, Gemma and I were both on the edge of our seats, and we were kind of hoping that you were going to he was going to mention the cardigan that he got.
The Nikki cardigan. Yeah, the cardigan.
He seems suspicious, doesn't he? Again, I don't think he's done it, but the evidence is there. So as the detective, you got to go down that route.
Yeah, or is perhaps that are they some way both involved? Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? Time will tell.
Are we going to see, now you're more of a main character, more of the investigative bits where we see you kind of putting the pieces together? Because often with the detectives or any police officers on Corrie, we kind of see them show up at someone's house, arrest them, question them, and that's almost it. So are we going to see more of what goes on before that, do you think?
Possibly. I can't answer that truthfully because I'm not so sure with that. I would think so, but I think for the foreseeable future, they're very much focusing on the viewers getting to know Swain and her daughter, because I feel that that's important. We've seen Swain an awful lot in the interview room and how she conducts herself. So I feel that it's important at this stage now to see the other side of her. You know, what is she like as a mother? Is she still the same? Is she softer? And again, how she's ended up in this position, how she's ended up as a single mom, and what she's done in that period of time. So that's really interesting and exciting.
You're racking up quite a list of stories that you've been involved in now. There was Seb's murder, obviously, Imran's death, Amy's rape, Stephen's murder spree. Have you got any favourite stories or moments that have particularly stood out to you over the years?
Oh, crikey. Favorite moments. I think, and this is probably not going to be what the viewers would agree with, but I really think that it would have to be the way she is with the Battersbys, in particular working with Jane Danson. And there was a scene, I think it went all over the show because he did a Thug Life. Thug Life meme, is that what it's called? I'll have to ask my daughter what that is, because she's more au fait with the terminology. But just wait there while I go and find the key. And she's like, my sister's innocent. I really loved doing that, and the fact that they allowed us to just play with that and keep the sarcasm there. But again, I keep reiterating this, it is down to the writing, because if that's not written, then that would never have been a thing with her.
No, I love the
But
bit.
I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed doing that with her.
I love the bit with Toya. It was after the spider and Toya hostage scene, and you say, "What is it? You managed to keep this one alive, Mrs. Habib."
Mrs. Habib, you managed to keep this one alive. Yeah, it's great, and it's great to play a character like that. And I've not played a character like her before. So I'm embracing it with open arms, because the characters that have played before have been have kind of they've shown the vulnerabilities there. With Swain, she doesn't, but you know, she is broken. Anybody that projects this harsh exterior the way that she does, it's a protective mechanism. So that's what I'm really interested to pick away at and learn more about myself. So this is as exciting for me as it is for you guys.
Yeah. Going back to Toya, I'm just kind of wondering, is there unfinished history, like unfinished business there? Does Swain consider her the one who got away? You know, she's killed Imran, she's walking away free with it.
No, I don't think so. I don't think it really comes until she sees her. I think that would just be, but that's gone. She's like moving on, but she's definitely still in a radar in that sense that, well, you know, I know that you know that you know that I know, kind of thing. But she's got other things, and obviously we've had the Stephen Reed, with his reign of terror. I think that is probably something that grates more than anything, the fact that she couldn't bring him down,
Yeah, I bet.
and going to Manchester Airport.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Wrong
I read
one.
that. Like, really, would she? But yeah, and then obviously with Peter, kind of getting there before she had an opportunity to arrest him. So, they're fabulous.
Are there any like Corrie villains from the past that you would have liked to have arrested had you had been in the show back then?
Oh, crikey, what a question. I think there are a fair few that are still in the street that she would like to arrest, actually, the crimes that have been ongoing since before her time. But let me think about. Probably Jeff Metcalf, I think.
Nice.
Yeah,
He was a wrong
yeah.
one,
Because,
wasn't he?
yeah, and also, I mean, I know he met his demise, but I think the coercive control storyline in particular interests me, and I'm pretty certain it would interest Swain in that, because with physical abuse, obviously you can see that sometimes. Sometimes it's hidden, but with coercive control and the mental abuse, these are it's there forever, and our minds are very powerful tools. And to ridicule and diminish somebody, and to obviously break down the confidence. And to that storyline with Yasmin, it was heartbreaking, and they allowed it to breathe, and it was relatable to so many, not just women, it was relatable to so many people, that it raised awareness, but it also gave them an opportunity to talk about it. Yeah. And it took away that fear aspect and the self-consciousness, because they'd perhaps been sort of reduced to somebody less than their former self. So for that, I wish Swain had got her hands on him. Absolutely. And justice was served.
Few too many of the big villains end up kind of meeting their maker before they probably get to serve justice, don't they? Face justice.
So I wonder what's going to happen with this storyline. So I'm desperately hoping that's not going to happen with this one, but who knows?
I'm very much looking forward to seeing whether that comes true or not. Well, anyway, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast, Vicky. And congratulations again on being a regular. Just before we go, could you tell me like one hope that you have for Swain over the next 12 months? Now you're going to be able to sink your teeth into her. What's one goal you'd like to achieve with her over the next year?
To see her laugh. And have fun.
Wow.
That's an aim that I would like to achieve, very much so, and to portray her with authenticity and truth, because that's my job. And as I've said, I love playing her, and I'm really excited for what's to come. So I've made a deal with myself that I'm obviously going to do the best job that I possibly can.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again. It's been lovely speaking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Take care. Bye.
Well, there we go. Thank you, Vicky.
That was great. Thank you. Well done, Michael.
Thank you very much. Vicky. Well done, both of us, for revealing a bit of exclusive information there about D.S. Swain's daughter, Betsy Swain. Mm. I hope it's not well too done. Long before we find out about, well, find out more, and maybe meet
might
her.
Might not be Swain.
It might not be Swain. I don't know.
You she might be married.
This is true. This is true. No, she's not married. She's a teenager.
I know. Just joking. It could be the dad's surname, couldn't it?
This is true. Thank you so much. I really loved how passionate Vicky was about her character. It's clear that she'd wanted this for so long, but you know, you can never expect that this is going to happen. But she clearly had an idea built up about what Swain was like.
I love that.
Lisa Swain. And now I can't wait to find out more about her, honestly. I want to see some of these home scenes. I want to see her cooking her tea for Betsy.
Ooh, and we know she likes a bacon butty.
All the drama. We do indeed. But yeah, great stuff. Thank you so much, Vicky, for coming on the show, and for the press office at Coronation Street for putting us in
touch so that
we could get that interview out to you lovely lot out there. But that is it for this week's Coronation Street. Don't forget, again, we do have a YouTube version of this, should you wish to just see what you've just heard.
Just see it.
Does it match your imagination?
Maybe.
We're going to go now. We're going to go. It's time. This is Friday. We're just Friday at the moment. We've got to record another podcast very soon. So I hope you look forward to that, everybody. It's coming very, very soon. See you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
The music for this episode came from podcastthemes.com.